episode is brought to you ad-free thanks to all of our wonderful patrons. You can get tons of exclusive content, including bonus episodes, warm-up audio, and early access to episodes, all while helping us keep the show going by joining at patreon.com/shonenflop.
Welcome to this episode of Shonen Flop, where we talk about manga and Shonen Jump that didn't make it big. I'm David.
I'm Jordan.
Next week, we'll be covering Yamato Gensoki. If you'd like to read along with us, be sure to join the discussion in our Discord and submit your six-word summary. You can find a link to the Discord in our episode description and on our website, shonenflop.com. But this week, we are talking about Muddy, and I love having a manga I can say the name of without having to worry.
Finally!
And we are joined by the very talented artist, Carly. Carly, thank you so much for joining us today. Carly, do you mind telling the audience a little bit about yourself?
I am an illustrator. I went to Massachusetts College of Art and Design, where I got my degree. And I've been doing book covers, magic cards, and just private commissions.
That is so sick. Now, Carly, out of curiosity, do you actually play Magic the Gathering?
Haven't in a while.
I was just curious if like you've ever tried to like intentionally make a deck that makes sure to include all the cards you drew, and then you're just like, oh whoops, played a card I drew, sorry about that. Oh, it happens, you know, because that's what I would do if I was a Magic Gathering artist.
No, I really enjoyed it when it first came out. I was a kid. I would go with my brother to the comic shop, and while he would play, I would just look at all the card art and, you know, I'm like, that's what I want to do, man. That's what I want to do.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, you've achieved your dreams.
I can't believe it.
That's so cool.
4-year-old me would be so excited.
I love it. You're like living the dreams, but not like in an ironic way where someone's like, I don't know if I can make it through the rest of today at the office.
I still don't believe it.
Now, it's actually awesome, though. So your magic art, I was watching, I don't remember, but you were interviewed by Spice 8-Rec on one of your pieces. And I think it was like I saw like a One Piece art in your background or something. And I was like, I should ask Carly to be on this show, because it was just like really awesome hearing you talk about your own work. And I just thought it would be really fun to have you on.
Thank you.
Do you have a personal piece that you've made for Magic Gathering you're most proud of?
I have to say Faithless Looting.
It looks great. I love your art on that. Like, I really love how you combine like this three-dimensional, like naturalist, like realistic image with these like very flat colors. It's so interesting.
That came about because I just didn't want to paint those things when I was in college. Honestly.
It works though. Hey.
I think it's awesome. I was actually thinking about your work because so Faithless Looting was a really good card in the modern format and actually had to get banned.
Oh, really?
But I'm making my own like kind of magic set based on like really good magic cards. And I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely have to include your version of Faithless Looting in it. I actually, after this recording, I'm probably going to go order a copy of your version of Faithless Looting.
Oh, I could sign it for you, too.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
Yeah, David definitely didn't go, man, I wonder if she'll sign my magic cards to me right before we recorded or anything. So that's really nice.
I would absolutely love that. Why don't we, when we're after we're done recording, definitely I'd love to talk to you about coordinating that, especially because it sounds like shipping won't be too hard since you live like 2 hours away from me.
Yeah, pretty much.
Enough about that, though. I'm sure we could talk about art forever. Let's get into the manga details and let's hear Jordan tell us about this manga before we start discussing it.
So this is Muddy. It was written by Sho Aimoto.
As opposed to Tel Aimoto.
Huh. Notable people they were an assistant for. David, isn't this like the first time we've confirmed that the author is in fact a woman?
Yeah, I kind of honestly feel a little embarrassed, but I talked to Maxi B and Maxi B's like, there really aren't very many because there's a lot of assumed women authors, but this is one that like we know for a fact.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Has created, and we definitely want to have more women. I'm honestly kind of still disappointing ourselves that this is the first time this has happened, but it's definitely, we didn't intentionally try and omit having female offers. I guess they're just extremely rare and Maxi B was struggling to come up with like two other offers we could cover on the show, which is a shame.
For instance, it is widely believed, but not confirmed, that the author of Demon Slayer is a woman.
Oh.
And then I believe it's also thought that the author of Jujutsu Kaisen may also be a woman, but that's not as strongly suspected.
Hell yeah.
Turns out that the world of Japanese manga is extremely sexist.
Yes.
Who would have thought, man?
We read a short manga called The Right Way to Make Jump. Listener, you can listen to that if you join our Patreon.
Yes.
It's about like this guy who's just like interviewing jump editors, and they interview a jump editor and he's kind of like, "Ah, you know, like, do you guys think you should have more women? You don't have any women here." And he's like, nah, we don't want any women here. Nah.
Yeah.
This is a magazine for boys.
Yeah. No. We are a manly man.
I'm going to make my own magazine
yeah.
with blackjack and hookers.
Yeah. Oh, man. But notable people Sho had as assistants were Akira Amano of Aid Live. Do you know that series? Because I don't.
I love Amano.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We have at least one fan, one confirmed fan. Which series of theirs do you like?
Am I thinking of the right Amano? Oh, Yoshitaka Amano.
Oh, yeah, Yoshitaka Amano. Yeah, Final Fantasy. Oh, yeah. He's honestly one of my favorite artists, too. But this is not him.
I mix up people's names and artwork a lot.
Totally there with you. But Akira Amano, he did I'd Live, Ron Kamanahashi, Deranged Detective, and then Tite Kubo, who created Zombie Powder. And it's very funny to me that in the manga that this guy created, David listed Zombie Powder and not Bleach.
I assume MaxV listed it because Zombie Powder is what they were an assistant on.
I read Zombie Powder before Bleach was even started.
Hell yeah.
I enjoyed it.
So Carly, so a thematic thing about our Sho, as we have said very early on, Zombie Powder will be the last episode of Shonen Flop. So that's why it has like a very special place in our heart.
It is kind of the, like, the canceled manga.
Yeah.
But notable people this guy had as assistants were Kisuke Goto of One Operation Joker, Yoru Asahi of Gal and Bochi, and Mifuyu Konishi of I Was Born the Wrong Sex.
Whoa, trans rights.
Whoa.
We love to see it.
Yeah, hey. I have never heard of all of these, but...
Neither have I.
Hey, trans rights.
And then, Jordan, what were the other works by this author?
So her other works are Hokitshitsu no Shinigami, which is semi-successful. It got 10 volumes from 2009 to 2011. It came out like a year and a half after Muddy's failure. That follows a creepy school nurse named Hades Itsuhito, who aids his students by devouring disease demons that afflict them. Ooh.
Uncle Nurgle would be so proud.
And then Kimono Jien, that is still going. It is in Jump Square from 2016 to still going, 21 plus volumes, which is like Aimoto's big hit. A young half-cool boy is taken in by a tanuki detective, quickly becomes entrenched in a growing conflict between those who wish to keep their supernatural identities hidden and those who instead wish to rule over humans and monster alike. And then, oh wow, another series they did was, is actually a one-shot called Fujiko's Bizarre Worldly Wisdom, Whitesnake's Miscalculation, which is a fucking JoJo's Bizarre Adventure story.
Hmm.
Are you familiar with JoJo, Carly?
Yes.
Question, what's your favorite part?
Golden Wind.
Ah.
I can respect that.
That is the stylish one, I will say.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with it as much as I would have liked to. Same with Magic. It's like, oh, okay, watch, you know, we kept up with it 10 years ago, but now, no, not so much.
But yeah, so this JoJo one-shot is apparently pretty sexy. And she got a lot of death threats for it, so that's nice.
Oh, not Jolene.
Just, I fucking hate society.
Oh, fucking Twitter. Anyway, we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Muddy. This ran in Weekly Shonen Jump from December 17th, 2007 to March 17th, 2008. It replaced a little series no one's ever heard of called Hunter Hunter by Yoshihiro Togashi. Hiatus X Hiatus. Would you believe that that was a hit?
I've never heard of it.
But David, the series that replaced Muddy was Double Arts. That's episode 23.
Yeah.
God, that's a forgettable series. But Carly, that's a series where a boy and a girl have to hold hands or the girl will die of the Black Plague.
Oh my God. Oh, it's like Speed, except not with Keanu Reeves on a bus, but...
And no cars.
It's like Speed, but worse.
We've got to compare this series to Speed now.
But the series that started at the same time as it was Siren, which is a cult success, got 16 volumes. K.O. Sen, which is 2 volumes, that's a flop. And Shirazu Poseidon Gakuen Kotobu.
I also want to say for Siren, we keep polling, should we cover it? And it keeps losing the poll. So if you want us to cover Siren, you got to get on the Patreon and yell at people to vote for it.
Yeah, that went for 2 volumes. That was a flop. But yeah, Muddy went for 12 chapters, 2 volumes.
And I'm very glad for it.
Yeah, let's figure out what the fuck Muddy's about.
What is he?
What is a Muddy?
What is a Muddy?
A miserable pile of secrets.
A miserable pile of mud.
Clay is a former child prodigy who quickly became a scientist at a young age in order to make chimeras, artificial life forms. However, like most former gifted kids, he has not lived up to the hype, has been able to make a single one, and is suddenly fired. While wandering in despair, Clay ends up finding an abandoned laboratory where, in a frenzy, he accidentally creates the greatest discovery in the field, a human chimera named Muddy. But just like Tenacious D cannot remember how, Muddy eats dirt. And when a rich kid sees him doing that, he gets his dad and tries to buy him from Clay. But Clay is like, no, that's my son. So the dad tries to steal him. Clay, however, eats so much dirt that it becomes giant and scares them away. Popcorn Jordan.
After the destruction of his laboratory because Muddy got so dang big, Clay is discovered by Suzu, a chimera scientist who invites him to see Maju, her cactus dog chimera. Clay decides to leave and take Muddy where he wants to go, but the train they're on is interrupted for a woman hunt ordered by the town's rich guy, Jasper. The women are taken, have their blood drawn, and are tossed back with $1 million. Clay weirdly decides to have Muddy turn into a hot girl so he can sneak in along with their new accomplice, Hari. Clay is stopped at the gate by Jasper's guards since he's a man, but is saved by Sandro, his brother, who's working security as a part-time job. Thank God. He's doing this while he studies to become a scientist. Meanwhile, Muddy and Hari end up meeting Jasper and his mad scientist, Professor Corundum, who want to create Jasper's bride using the blood of Hari's sister Ruri and his cat to make a cat girl waifu for him.
I really can't believe that you wanted that.
Literally, yes. Unfortunately, the result is a weird cat abomination with human legs, and Corundum leaves after giving Muddy a piece of candy. Popcorn David.
Also, don't forget the cat just, like, dissolves and dies in front of everyone.
Oh, God.
Really horrifically, too.
Seriously, fuck.
No, I just love, in the comic, the scene. It's like, you were supposed to give me meow, cat girl, and you gave me meow. Just the little drawing of that cat girl.
When Clay discovers the candy, he eats it, and is attacked. She just fucking eats random candy that Clay...
He's hungry. He hasn't eaten in like 2 days, apparently.
It's so stupid. And is attacked on the toilet by Ruby, Corundum's sister. And she was sent to kidnap Muddy. When Conundrum tells her to violently dismember Muddy, she switches sides because she doesn't want to hurt a mud toddler.
To be fair, Professor Conundrum is a great name for a mad scientist villain.
Yes.
Corundum, backed by his hot GF Professor Sapphire, responds by sicking his failed rabid artificial human, Adamus, on them. Clay tricks Adamus into getting burned by a geyser, and they win in a very anticlimactic scene, because the author clearly had run out of page count.
Yeah.
A few years later, Sandro is interning with Suzu, and Muddy is now a teenager. End of this manga.
Like, end of Evangelion, end of Muddy.
I was just in the chair crying.
Yeah. Is he a teenager, or did he just eat? Because he could change his size.
See, this is a good point, because I feel like the series is trying to imply Muddy's older now. But, as we have seen, Muddy can just eat dirt.
And become a sexy lady.
Become a sexy lady. Become older.
Such a strange scene.
Such a weird scene where this, like, this dirt toddler who is days old and the mind of a toddler just becomes a hot girl with big boobs. Just like, that's great. Thanks. Anyway.
I just don't want to think about it. Carly, can you tell us about Clay?
Sure. Clay, he is a cool magical scientist again.
We have again because the last week we also covered something with a cool magical scientist.
What did you do? Shit, what's the series name? Dr. Stone?
No, I do love Dr. Stone. We did Return of the Yellow Dragon. Or is it Return of the... What the fuck?
Appearance of the Yellow Dragon.
Clay is also a prodigy, but didn't live up to the hype. And Clay loves his idiot son.
Oh, yes.
And reminds him of that fact, too, by constantly calling him an idiot.
Yeah, no, it's... I think he just straight up calls him the R word.
That was an artifact of mid-2000s translation.
Two or three times.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked to see that word in here.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, 2008 manga. What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. What's up, guys?
Oh, just watch stuff on Newgrounds. What about you?
Oh, Newgrounds, I'm going to go listen to some Linkin Park and talk about how women are objects.
You know, but I am tired of getting off topic. So, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about Clay. I think Carly's kind of nailed it.
He's got cool / weird glasses, like steampunk glasses.
And a mole on his face, which is important for the last chapter.
In the last chapter, the last couple panels, like Muddy steals Clay's glasses to impersonate him. And Clay's like, I can't even go outside without them, which is sort of is like, wait, are you unable to go in the sunlight? What the fuck? Like, wait, that was never addressed. That was never talked about in the whole series. What?
Well, they're thick Coke bottle glasses, so of course he can't see without them on.
Oh, you're right. He can't see, of course.
No, secretly he's a vampire.
That might be true, though. I don't know. It might be true. He's a chimera vampire thing.
Yeah. And then, Jordan, do you mind telling us about Muddy?
So Muddy is, he's a mud golem. He is mud that has gained sentience. He is a toddler. He is a idiot baby. And he does not know really what is going on because he is
a silly idiot baby.
A silly idiot baby. He eats a lot of dirt to get big, and he has shape-shifting powers that let him do strange things. Like, he could do Luffy things.
You know what? That was something I was going to bring up when he stretched to, like, reach the book or something on the top shelf. I'm like, oh, okay, he's Luffy now.
Well, yeah, also, like, he likes to watch TV, so we know that anime exists in this world. We know that manga exists in this world. Does One Piece exist in this world?
We'll find out, but not really, because I don't want to touch the series again. I also want to say, Tucker, is a fun fact, where the Japanese pronunciation of Muddy apparently is pronounced like the name Maddie, so that's, like, supposed to be, like, a meta joke that just doesn't translate.
Yeah, so it's like kind of a real name.
Yeah, so essentially it means Clay wasn't being insanely lazy naming someone made out of mud Muddy, I guess is the takeaway from that.
Well, not as lazy as he theoretically could have been.
That's true. All right, and then finally, why don't I talk about Professor Cornundrum?
AKA Professor Corundum.
I heard it both ways.
I prefer Professor Conundrum. It's better that way.
Anyway, he is a huge asshole. He's really actually pretty shitty at making chimeras, seeing as how he had like thousands of test subjects. And he was kind of the Elon Musk, actually, of chimera making. Like, that was his Cybertruck, was that Catgirl chimera.
I saw one of those in person.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
It's bad.
I heard it's a thing now where people will slap Cybertrucks because it like fucks up their finish if you put your palm on it.
Oh, God.
You're just staring at it. It just loses value. It goes against the warranty.
Getting wet voids the warranty.
Yeah, but you can remember there's that famous tweet where he's like, you can use it as a boat. I don't think so.
Are you saying Elon Musk isn't very smart?
It's the same logic as, like, you can eat a leather glove if you're hungry.
You can eat anything once.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, his sister is nice, but he himself is a pretty shit person.
Yeah, he sucks.
The series didn't really have time to make him interesting.
No, he is unilaterally a piece of shit, basically.
Yeah, I think that's all there is to say about the characters.
I was gonna say, I don't know what else to say about him besides, damn, he sucks.
I will say that Tucker has provided some fun trivia about some other characters. Kagame is a play on the word for money / gold medal. Kogane is an art play on words, ko meaning child, and is used as a prefix when talking about the baby form of animals, so it's like the word pup. So he essentially means money child. And Adamas is probably a reference to Greek mythology. It is a character in the Iliad whose name means unconquerable, so very high standards for a character that was defeated extremely quickly.
I was thinking it was a reference to the Hebrew word Adama, which means earth.
Oh, that would be good too.
Yeah.
Speaking of failures, why don't I get into this?
It's actually a double entendre, just like Kendrick Lamar, you know?
A minor, that was a great line in that diss track against fucking Song of the Year. Anyway, let's get into talking about why it failed. So Carly, what would you say something that stood out to you as like a really big issue you had with the series as you read it?
Personally, what I found is that it kind of followed this weird villain of the week kind of plot line where then all of a sudden, like, you know, the first was the father and the son, which are very like Hanna-Barbera-esque looking.
Yes.
Villain types.
So much.
And like all of a sudden they like popped up later at the end where you thought that they were resolved. But I guess it would be this funny like, oh, recurring character in the neighborhood, considering, you know, Suzu's lab and Clay's brother there. And everyone's living this nice, happy, muddy life.
Yeah.
It's like it's trying to do this villain of the week.
And then it abandons it.
Yeah, it, like, there's three villains, except two villains, really.
Yeah, and one of the villains didn't do anything.
The plot never gets going in this series at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's two bad guys and then the other guy's like, Ashley, you're useless. And then he essentially just drops him down a pit. Like, metaphorically, doesn't actually do that. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. I thought that he was going to, like, kill him or something, which, you know, would have been something. I don't know. I kind of wish he did.
Everything was so inefficient, too. Like, they have conversations that go nowhere. Like, this is such a treading water. Like, this series wasted our time. It was not respectful of our time is really the main thing, right?
Yeah, a lot could have been, like, condensed or, you know, been more obvious instead of taking, like, five extra steps for, you know, Suzu to feed her dog the, whatever ampule that she gave him to make him super big. It's like, just, she's bubbly and she's tits out and she just gotta, like...
She is tits out.
She doesn't know how to wear a lab coat, which is adorable, by the way.
I was like, over time, I was like, with Suzu, I was like, are they sexualizing her? I was like, oh, they are sexualizing her. Okay.
But she's like, dumb.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I like Suzu.
Oh, she's the best character in this series.
Suzu's useless.
And also, the series just drops her.
She does nothing. She should have been a bigger part, but she was not. She appears for two chapters.
Well, what amused me was, like, the entire house. It's like, oh, come watch television on our plant television. Come take a shower in our plant shower.
I loved
and
that, yeah.
Everything is, like, a chimera, and that really got me wondering, like, they got so good at making chimeras of everything. Then why is it such a big problem to, like, create a human chimera? If you could hybrid a tree and a television, that's cool as shit. Like, why yeah. aren't you doing anything, you know, just make a human.
It is very Hanna-Barbera, though, you know, like, using chimeras to, like, do household chores, just like the dinosaurs and fucking...
It's like the Flintstones. I want a chimera to be like, it's a living. What else? I also still think that the turning Muddy into an adult woman thing just was very uncomfortable for me.
So weird.
Like, why an adult woman?
You know what was even more uncomfortable for me was when Muddy got super big at the end of, like, the first arc, and he's, like, towering over the house, and I'm like, oh no, this is someone's fetish, isn't it? Big child.
I was worried about that, too.
This series had a lot of fetish material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he reads about pregnancy and then makes himself have a, like, inflates his stomach, basically. Like, what are you doing?
It was all very weird.
What are we doing here, author?
The bingo card of author's latent fetish.
Also, do they explain why Suzu didn't help in, like, the final mission, the infiltration? Like, couldn't they have just used her as the test, as the woman they were dropping off? Why did they need Muddy to turn into a woman?
Because she was being left behind and they were spreading their wings.
But I was just like, it was so dumbfounding. I was like, you have an adult woman character you just established. Why was she not in this?
Well, because then they couldn't have Muddy turn into... They couldn't have Muddy do sexy no jutsu.
God. I don't know if this makes me more or less comfortable if the offer is a woman.
The baby, infant, child do sexy no jutsu.
To be fair, I think that with, you know, the giant child, I couldn't imagine the author, you know, not taking inspiration, like, from their own child. And now that the author I know is female, that kind of makes a lot of sense. And I think after, you know, considering that with the fan service-y, you know, kidnapping plot, that was more like, oh, this is for Shonen Jump, so I'm just going to stick boobs in there because boys like boobs.
Who doesn't like boobs?
There are people who don't like boobs. I guess.
I also think the Ruby plot twist was really, really stupid. Like, they're like, I was like, what was the point of this character? You know, why didn't he just stick like a chimera after them? That's the whole point of the series.
Again, it's like Ruby was introduced to take a part that otherwise would have been played by Suzu.
Mm-hmm.
She turns on her brother so fucking fast.
She's like, don't be evil. She's like, okay.
She was like the strongest one in the family, too.
Apparently.
I thought she was going to, like, be a double agent with how fast she portrayed her brother, which would have been interesting, which this series doesn't do.
But Muddy was so cute. Okay, yeah, well, that is true. That is the saving, you know, what I think did best is Muddy is adorable.
Yeah, so maybe on that note, why don't we get into what it did well?
Yeah.
So on that note, Carly, I know Muddy is adorable. So along with that, what were some other things you enjoyed about the series?
I liked how much possibility there was for the character Muddy. I liked the characterization of all the chimeras, which it was chimeras of things that I didn't imagine them being, like, just sloth trains. Yeah. That was really cool. Something I never thought up, but and plant televisions. That's, I can't get over that plant television. Yeah, there was a lot of room for creativity that I never expected.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's so, like, it's such a fun world they built, and it's such a shame they didn't use it very well.
Yeah.
I think this series does it better than Golem Hearts did.
Yeah, that's fair, but that's not a very high bar.
It's not a high bar, but it clears it.
I also think it's absolutely hilarious that one of the main bad guys' goal was to make a cat waifu.
It was really good.
Such a stupidly. It's so, so dumb stupid. It becomes a fun idea.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, my cat Midori and this little girl.
Also, like, the joke where Muddy, like, pushes his boobs back into his body and it goes through his back. So he just has boobs on his back was pretty good. I like that. That was pretty good.
Oh, I missed that. I thought he had, like, shoved them down, like, towards his pants or something.
Nah, he pushed them, like, through his chest and then they appeared on his back.
It's like the equivalent of, like, when you're wearing a hoodie and you put your retract your arms into your torso. He's kind of doing the chimera version of that. I also have nothing else positive to say about this series.
I think the art was charming.
I like the characterization. That was fun.
Maxi B said, by the way, the art is very fucked up by these prints. Like, they.
Yeah, the art is very fucked up. It's sad.
They did some, like, post-processing that really fucked the art up to try and make it easier to read, and it did not work. So at least you can say the art was decent.
Oh, there was plenty of very good panels and facial expressions.
Yes. I liked Muddy and Clay's relationship for the most part. I mean, yeah, I wish he didn't. Probably not the best that he calls his child stupid all the time, but, like, he loves this kid. It's very clear that, like, he cares about Muddy. Like, the reason why they leave Suzu's house is because he's like, I want to make sure that my boy experiences the world.
Yeah, just how he, you know, guides him out of the house. And he's like, all right, what direction do you want to go in? And he just runs through the fence.
Imagine we lived in the universe where this and Golem Hearts ran at the same time and they had a crossover, because Golem Hearts also has a very nice dad who loves his artificial son.
It's very similar. They are very similar manga.
I also realized, Jordan, in my chibi, I guess that Muddy was like the reincarnation of someone close to Clay that died, which is actually what happened in Golem Hearts. Because Golem Hearts was the reborn of his, revealed to be like the reincarnation of his dead son.
Right.
But so I completely forgot that twist happened to Golem Hearts.
I do too. Golem Hearts is a very forgettable series.
It is, but I can never forget talking about where it could have gone. So shall we move into that? All right. So Jordan, what would you have done to have redone the series, reshaped it rather? Oh ho ho.
I mean, I would have had them stay at Suzu's house way longer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you set up this thing where, like, all right, laboratory's destroyed after the first chapter. Oh, now they have a new home. And, like, the home is filled with all these interesting things. And he's got, like, a laboratory where he can work on stuff. It's like, oh, clearly they're going to stay here for a while. And, like, I don't know, maybe they'll have to deal with, like, outside threats. No, they just leave. Like,
yeah.
Why did they even do that? Like, the second chapter may as well not be here.
Well, yeah, they abandoned, like, the forge or whatever you want to call it that made Muddy without, like, a second thought.
I think the fact that we didn't see Suzu really left up to being, there was hint she was goblin mode, but we never got a goblin mode confirmation, really shows Suzu was not used to her full potential. Because Shonen Flop loves our goblin mode women.
Yes.
I identify.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I guess the series got canceled before we could have seen more growth from Muddy. I don't know. He started, like, learning some words.
Mm-hmm. He only started to not be stupid.
He just barely started to not be stupid. I just feel like this series needed to stop abandoning things the second that they introduce it.
Yeah. Monster of the Week, I think, would have been great to have established this really interesting world, as much as I hate Monster of the Week, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, what was the end goal of Muddy anyway? Was he trying to turn him into a real boy? Because it's like, I made this cool thing. I don't really know what to do with it, was how I felt about the series.
Yeah, just wanted an excuse to, like, draw a lot of really interesting hybrids.
Yeah, or what was the deal with like Hari's sister Ruri? It seems like she's gonna be a big deal and then she disappears. Like, everything just shows up and goes away. Like, there are many plot threads that this series could have gone with, and it didn't go with any of them except maybe the least interesting one.
Yeah. I also kind of think, fuck it, rip off Dr. Slump and make it like a gag of the week antics with him. Because I think also this manga could have had like some really interesting commentary of what it's like being a single father.
Yeah. And also, like, just, you know, the adorableness that is Muddy.
Buddy's very cute.
It needed to live I Love My Idiot Son on its sleeve as a series, you know?
Yeah.
Carly, like, I see where you're coming with this. Muddy does feel like he's based off, or at least inspired by, like, a real child. There is, like, a realness to Muddy that does not exist in, like, typical manga children.
Yeah, like, all the poses that he was in, like, you couldn't come up with that stuff from the top of your head. Like, she had to have been, like, if she is a mother and she has a son or a daughter of her own and, you know, is just looking at this child be a goblin and taking all the reference pictures that she can, why not use it?
I think it's really smart that she had, like, the toddler golem have to eat dirt.
That's awesome.
That was so good. Like, perfect.
I just love him just upending that potted plant right into his mouth.
Yes. I am still sad that they didn't have a thing where it's like if he ate different materials, he gets like different abilities. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Or just like have Suzu cultivate him as a walking farm.
He's cultivating mass.
See, that's another reason why they should have stayed with Suzu. She is, her whole thing is like perfectly set up for him. She's got soil all over the dang place.
Yeah, I really don't understand why he threw Suzu out. Especially because he had an arc that instantly would have made like her existence like understandable because of that kidnapping arc, which was really stupid anyway.
Oh, God.
I mean, just think that was just a plot to introduce the brother.
It kind of was, yeah. That was kind of the point of that arc, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, so I think since we're getting a little derailed, let's get into miscellaneous thought. I feel like if I was to say what manga this most makes me think of, I want to say Spy Family, because it's kind of like the dad is a straight man. He's kind of pseudo being a single parent, at least for a little bit. And then, like, just when Muddy is just watching TV and getting super excited, that just made me feel like of Anya. And, you know, I don't know. It's just like that's the series that I felt was most similar to this.
Mm.
I've been watching a lot of Misadventures of Flapjack lately.
Oh, that's a good show.
And I think maybe like Knuckles and Flapjack probably, and Suzu might be Bubby. I don't know.
That's a good way.
I love Flapjack because it's like they took all the creepy parts from SpongeBob and just made a show out of that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
That is great. Oh, that era of Cartoon Network.
Yeah, I think it's funny that like the entire town appears to be made up of women, but it's actually just the guys are all cross-dressing because they want to get the $1 million that like Jasper gives them.
You'd think by that point that all the women in town would have been accounted for anyway.
I mean, that maybe, I don't know, like he didn't seem to respect them very well, so maybe it wasn't keeping good track. That's a good point, though.
Yeah, he said that they were ending the...
Well, why did they let her in when they'd already found the donor they needed?
Right?
I think maybe because he was conundrum, was trying to find an older person that had a genetic match for the cat, because he said something about her being young, but it's not like she's getting pregnant or just putting blood in.
They made it like she had some backstory. Also, it seemed like they just need like blood from her. It wasn't like she was going to die. It was like, it didn't seem that big a deal.
They were taking these girls' blood anyway. Like,
it turned into a big nothing burger.
It was nothing.
I thought that was going to be like a Mr. Freeze where it's like his actual wife and like they're trying to cure her. But no, he was just a horny motherfucker. And honestly, I wish they kind of leaned on that more because that was hilarious. Like, I could have seen a lot of gag mangas just making that the plot.
It would have been amazing for that, I was going to say homunculus, chimera to have survived, because then not only will his first humanoid chimera been a success, but it would have been that monstrosity. And Jasper stuck with that thing for a wife.
Oh, Muddy's like, can we keep it?
Yes. Oh, that would have been the perfect side character. Cat.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, my God. And then they take it home to see Ruri, and it freaks her out. Yeah, exactly.
this is your daughter.
I also want to say Suzu, whenever she walked into the room, it reminded me of that rev up those fryers from SpongeBob. Like, it was the exact same energy. Where she's like, hey, what's up, fuckers?
I loved when she kicked down the door to wake Clay
she
up.
She did. I loved it. They had a plot literally handmade to use Suzu and then didn't. It was so baffling.
Yeah. I mean, what endeared me to her immediately was just her lab coat. Like, she doesn't know how to wear a lab coat. And her arms are just kind of like, she looks like a kid with her sleeves flapping all over the place.
Suzu's got a good design. There are good designs in this series.
Very, like, recent Pokemon.
I also think that Muddy and Luffy would be best friends.
Definitely. But they both love to eat.
Luffy's like, I've never tried eating dirt before.
David. Luffy has tried to eat dirt.
Oh, yeah, he has. You're right. But he hasn't tried eating human dirt. Oh, Luffy would be like, so when you poop, is it mud?
Yeah, that's what he would say.
Do chimeras poop? I also want to say that I know the translation was fan done, but I still do want to make fun of the fact that they're literally, it's like sequential pages where Muddy says a phrase and then Clay is like, I've never heard Muddy say this phrase and quotes him, but it's not the same line of dialogue.
Yeah, I was confused.
I was like, bruh, how you fucked that up? It's like sequential pages. It's not like you had to go back and check like 10 chapters.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't miss that. That's good. I was like, did I misread something? What the fuck? Okay.
I also want to say Maxi B has some fun thoughts where they said Muddy had 2 one-shots, both included in the volume release. First was from Jump the Revolution, all caps, in 2006. Spinoff magazine for newcomers. The second was, drumroll please, a Golden Future Cup entry, our favorite award. It didn't win, losing against the one-shot for Narua, Rise of the Yokai Clan. But as is often the case, the winner beat the winner to serialization by a couple of months.
Carly, do you know about the Golden Future Cup curse?
I do not.
Everything that has won the Golden Future Cup has been canceled.
Well,
I think pretty much. I don't think there's been a single success out of it.
I don't think it's so much of a curse as it's Shonen Jump doing its thing.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us.
Dangle the carrot.
And then moving on down, Bullet Train Anderson is reminiscent of the classic children's entertainment like Thomas the Tank Engine, Budgie the Helicopter, and Mater the Tow Truck.
Mater.
What? Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah, like from Cars.
Yeah, he's fucking...
Cars 2, that piece of shit spy movie for some reason. It's likely is to be based off of Thomas, who has a large presence there in specific attractions like Thomas Town in...
Shin Misato.
Yeah, and like Thomas Anderson, get it, Mr. Anderson? The Matrix is real. You got it, Maxie.
Or Wes Anderson, get it?
Yeah, definitely with a Wes Anderson T-Rex chainsaw. Maxie also says, read in Japanese because they don't use the R word.
Oh, cool. So, yeah.
You just have to learn another language and its alphabet and, yeah, easy peasy.
That's how you avoid slurs, you know? Jesus fucking Christ.
That's how you learn new xenophobia.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So then finally, let's get into final verdict. Let's get started with 6-word summaries from the community. Tucker, cut off, left behind, gooey residue, and a bonus with help from Red Blade, as messy as the name implied. Maxby said, Dr. Slumps continue until morale improves. That's really good.
That's really good.
Andy's Island, Jumbo's Take 2, still a flop. Or Paladin, anime cat girl, no anime cat girl. Blah Moo Moo said, villain motivations as clear as mud. Diego, even the artwork has muddy consistency. Hey, that's not fair. Dude Rock says, unemployed father raises dumb dirt daughter. I think Muddy was male.
Muddy was a boy, yeah. I think.
Glornak, a dirt poor family of idiots. Captain Clueless, Muddy manga makes many mediocre motivations.
Nice.
Last of the Red Bros, fun time obscured by Muddy scans. Lord Anubis, FMA fans only know one joke and not dirt by Alice in Chains.
It's a shame. Ah.
We actually didn't even mention Full Metal Alchemist. I think we did maybe in the chibi.
We didn't mention Dirt by Alice in Chains either. Damn, what a great album.
Or Joe Dirt.
That too.
Oh, that could have been the cover art. It's Joe Dirt.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? I was going to make a graphic of Doogie Howser as Clay.
Oh, Doogie Hazard. Ho, ho, ho. From Quack, artists eat even more dirt than Muddy. Redblade, nut job scramble to adopt Terra Firma toddler. Real said mud, clay dirt, ground, soil, earth.
Go planet.
Riley, catgirl chimera still better than Nina.
Oh.
Spubby has golem heart, but clay feet. Spiffy, chimera, more like young clay face. Oh, Spiffy's gonna like mine. Spike, just read mud and sludge instead, or mightier mangaka may have made money magnificent. And from T. Wolfwood, color page, then bam, scanalation artwork. And Carly, what was your 6-word summary?
I love this precious mud child.
Aw, that's a good one. How about you, Jordan?
Leave my stupid dirt baby alone.
Oh yes, I agree.
All right, mine was kind of weird. I fought it on my flight back from Puerto Rico. Mine said Clay can't face this waning plot.
Hey.
There we go. Second Batman reference. And then Carly, would you say this series is a flop or not?
Yeah, it needed more development.
Now, would you say it's a certified flop? In that, would you use the word terrible to describe it?
No.
How about you, Jordan?
It's definitely a flop of some kind.
Oh yeah, we're not arguing that.
Not arguing. This is absolutely a flop of some kind. I don't think it's certified, but it's on that cusp for me, you know?
I feel like I want to say certified because it wasted my time so immensely. And what was there to enjoy in this?
Muddy being cute.
Yeah, Muddy being adorable. I mean, it's better to read 12 chapters than, like, pick up Naruto.
The reason why I'm a little hesitant is that it didn't make me angry the way that a lot of certified flops do. But the more I'm thinking about it, though,
the execution was just so bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go certified. Like, there's so much fumbled here.
Bag fumbled.
Gotta understand, Carly, we got a lot of con.
I know, you go through a lot.
We go through a lot. We've been through so much. We've been through so much pain. You don't understand. Okay.
We turn our pain into art. That's an idea I just came up with that no artist has ever done before.
That's why it's called painting.
No, never.
Oh, that's a joke I've never heard before.
I came up with it.
Oh, so smart.
I actually have a badge on my back that says paint, but with the T painted up.
Nice.
T-Pain.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think the T stands for Tallahassee. Anyway, Carly, what do you think someone should check out instead of reading this manga? And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be an anime. So anything you just think that someone should check out instead?
I would give Gundam Witch for Mercury a watch. It's a very good series.
And it was just Pride Month. I was listening to our sister show, Anime Out of Context, just reviewed it for that. So I want to go check it out.
Very good.
How about you, Jordan?
Dirt by Alice in Chains.
Fuck off.
It's a fucking great album, David. It's a great album.
All right. Mine was go read Shiba Inu Rooms. It is a manga that just started. It is about a lady who moves into an apartment that's super cheap, but it is haunted by the ghost of a Shiba Inu and how she now has a ghost dog buddy and the dog can talk. So it's really silly.
Is that like ghost dog wave the sword or whatever?
It might be.
Wave the saber? I don't know.
I thought it was going to be like liminal spaces with just Shiba everywhere.
Hey guys, check out myhouse.wad. Speaking of liminal spaces.
Oh, yes.
I will say the series is very silly. It's like a supernatural version of Red Cat Ramen, which is very adorable as well. Anyway, Jordan, I also wanted to give a shout out to Smiling Friends because more people need to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Check out Smiling Friends.
You've watched it, Carly?
Been watching like Zach and Oni and that crew do stuff for years.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Bush World Adventures. Man. All right. Well, Jordan, is this the worst thing we've ever read?
No, not even close.
Nah, this is probably one of the better certified flops. So now it's time. Let's go in to wrap up. Carly, oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute blast. Shout out to Spice 8 Rack. I know he's listened to every episode since day one. Appreciate you him in interviewing you so we could just... sorry, I'm tired. Just thank you so much though, for being on the show.
You are very welcome.
Where can more people get more of your awesome work?
You can check me out on Instagram. It's Carly Janine Mazur at Instagram, and I'll be sporadically posting updates there as I just am a goblin in my cave painting, and I don't know what time it is.
I know that feeling. I know that feeling. Mm-hmm. I should paint more. I feel you.
I've never painted, but I'm sure it's fun.
You could start.
Yeah, you can start at any time.
Anyone can paint. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I'm busy making mathematical models to make my new Magic the Gathering cube. That's what I'm doing this week.
Oh, cube.
Yeah, that's awesome, though. And then props to Jordan for making the opening and ending theme, being a great co-host and helping with editing.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you for all the work that you do on this show. I love you so much.
I love you too, babe. Props to Mer Lyle for the awesome cover art. Find her online at Lyle Mer and Nigel for being our generous art benefactor. Thank you, Dylan, for assistance with editing. You can find his podcast, Anime Out of Context, at animeoutofcontext.com. Thanks to Tucker and Maxi B for assistance with pronunciation, translation, and other miscellaneous research. Find us on X at Shonen Flopcast, Tumblr, Shonen-Flop, our website, ShonenFlop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Come join the Shonen Flop Discord, open to everyone, patron or not. Hang out with us, talk about anime, games, wherever else is on your mind. Finally, link to it in the show notes or on our site. And if you've been enjoying the podcast and want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. Wouldn't be able to keep the show running without their support. Get a ton of awesome perks, including exclusive monthly episodes. Jordan, what are we dropping in July for our patrons?
Well, David, we are covering the first half of Cypher Academy.
Yeah.
With Megan from the Volume 1 podcast.
It's going to be dope. Carly, the claim to fame of the series is the translator quit because he thought it was impossible to translate.
Oh.
It is a series about Japanese word puzzles.
Oh, so it's like House of Leaves.
Yeah, it's...
Imagine having to translate House of Leaves into a different language.
Hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the puzzles are bullshit where they're like, oh, you need to know this is a misquote from Alice of Wonderland. And you're just like, fuck off, dude.
I can see how that might be a problem.
You could also even be listening to our recordings live, listening to the warm-up audio, and helping us figure out what we'll record next. Find it at patreon.com/shonenflop. And I want to read off some of our wonderful patrons. Starting with our wonderful dolphin dads, we have Glornak, Rachel, my wonderful wife. I missed her dearly while I was away in Puerto Rico. And stop asking what D I'm fucking. The only consistent D I'm getting is depression. I'm fucking depressed. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Oz's rat. I am here for you.
Was that a name or a comment?
That is their full legal name.
I'm impressed.
We get a lot of names like this.
Yeah, we have some silly ones. Then moving down to our ravioli tier, where you get weekly photos of my adorable dog Ravioli. I just gave her a haircut, so she's extra cute. You also get, and Carly, you might find this fun, I have made Magic the Gathering Ravioli tokens, because we call her the Goblin Dog, so I made Goblin tokens with pictures of her on it.
Aww.
They're adorable.
Carly, if you would like to send me your address, I'm happy to send you some, if you would like.
I would love some.
Yeah, my favorite is I made a treasure token that has a picture of my wife and Ravioli wearing matching pajamas.
Aww, I want to make some custom token cards.
While we're uploading your audio, I'll send you a picture of them. But yes, if you send me, I'm more than happy to send you some as a thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
We have Chris, Eva, Jeanette Davis, Lady T, Matt, Spiffy, T, Tiffany, and Trevor Schechner. And then moving down to our King of the Forest, we have 090Z, Bandit Stoof.
My girlfriend.
Brad, Chad, Glass Snake, Jacob Andrew Galloway, Justin Hefner, Kirby Mon, Marty, Max Baker, Riley, Sarah Hydra, T Wolfwood, and Tommy Boy. I also want to give a big thank you to our Galactic Ball Federation officers and our Beast Children.
Thank you all. You are all my children. I love you very much.
You are all my Beast Children.
Yes, you are all my Beast Children, the new hit soap opera.
Yep. And then Jordan, now's here. Here is your cue to talk about vampires and ask Carly if they've seen it.
Carly, have you ever seen the show Vampires? That is V-A-N as in Nancy dash P-I-R-E-S.
I have not.
I'm not shocked to hear that. Woo! It's a very strange 90s live action CGI hybrid TV show that maybe only I caught when it was out. We've had multiple people say that they've seen it, but none of them saw it when it was out. It's just me. I'm the only...
Is it like local cable access channel?
It was on UPN.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Casey Green?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I actually made a mock secret lair of Casey Green where I just took like panels and attached them to magic cards.
Oh, I'd love to see Casey Green illustrate some cards.
Right? I was like, fuck, Casey Green would make an awesome secret lair.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, people petition Wizards of the Coast.
But yeah, so I have a podcast called Mission Ignition where I cover that show. And we recently interviewed one of the actors on the show. And
Really?
Yeah, and because very few people saw the show, it's like I'm asking questions about the show that literally nobody else has asked because nobody has done interviews about the show. So I'm doing journalism, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
More power to you.
Hell yeah.
It was Jordan's big break. Oh, man, that's awesome. And then shall we go to sign off?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next Monday as we give our first thoughts on Yamato Gensuki. This has been David.
This has been Jordan.
This has been Carly.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.